Welcome to the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada for Sunday, April 7th, 2024, the second Sunday of Easter. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that you will feel God's presence wherever you are.
As we come to the scripture readings, I must advise you that the Spirit of the Lord is here with us today. We cannot exist without that Spirit. We must live according to the will of the Spirit who comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with us here in this sanctuary today. So I'd like to invite Michelle to read the scriptures this morning.
First reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Second reading is a responsive reading from Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. The epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
John 20:19-31. I could take my old Bible, which I got from St. Andrew's in
St. Lambert. I'm reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to
31.
31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Sorry about that mix up, but Vina is obviously well trained because. Am I on? Oh, this thing fell off again. Vina is obviously well trained because Reverend Adams usually reads the last reading before we start on the sermon. So I apologize to you for that. My sermon today is entitled, "He Breathed on Us." May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable to all who have gathered here today to listen to this message and those who are online. Before I start, I'd like to thank the people who have made this service possible. The people who have cleaned the church, the people who greeted you, the people who have welcomed you, my technical team in the back, the technicians, the choir, the organists, everyone who has helped to put this together, and of course you for coming here. I'd also like to mention the Sunday school teachers and the nursery teachers who are downstairs, and they actually have a live feed into the area. There are so many people that put this together. I am just a small part of it. I'd also like to thank God for giving me the strength of mind and the strength of voice to deliver this, his message to you. My lesson today is based on John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When we turn on the news, we are immediately bombarded by negativity. No matter which channel you turn on, everything involves death. Death is really scary. It's a dark valley that we wander through. Death brings on grief, depression, and a sense of hopelessness. Or have we got this all wrong? Maybe death is only terrifying to those of us who are still alive here on this earth. But it may be a very joyous occasion for those who are uplifted from this place and now hold the keys to one of those mansions that God is preparing for us in heaven. So do not think about death as a very sad thing. As I go from ministry churches to churches, I do not know what was preached the last week. So what I do is before I start this week's sermon, I just like to recap what was happening last week. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early on Sunday morning. She was confused as the stone that was placed at the entrance of the tomb was rolled away. She was scared, so she ran back to tell Simon Peter and John. They too were bewildered. They probably thought that Mary was hallucinating in the last few days, because they were very stressful days. So they raced to the tomb to check if what Mary Magdalene had said was indeed true. John arrived first, and he was the first to peep into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen and the headcloth lying on the floor, but there was no body. Peter, being more cavalier, entered the tomb and confirmed the lack of a body. Now, was this the right tomb? Did they enter the wrong one? You have to read John chapter 20, verse 9, very slowly and carefully to understand that he must rise from the dead. They may not have understood that. And sadly, today, there are a lot of people who may not understand that. Now, on to this reading, this week's reading. On the first day of the week, the disciples had gathered in a closed and shuttered room. They were scared. They thought that they were being persecuted. Jesus was crucified, and they were under threat by the Jewish leaders. Now just imagine the swirl of emotions that those disciples were feeling that day. But then Jesus came and stood amongst them. Initially, they were baffled because the room was closed and shuttered. So how did he get in? Jesus detected this feeling of uneasiness, and to ease their minds, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples rejoiced to see him. He was alive. They were also sad and confused because they did not understand what his resurrection meant. I also suspect that they felt guilt over their desertion of him in his last hours. And in response to all of that, joy, sadness, confusion, fear, guilt, all Jesus said was, "Peace be with you." That's all he said. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive this, the Holy Spirit." When Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit onto them, he had embraced them all to become his followers. They were engaged as his followers, and now they were his hands. They would do his work here on earth. So why does the return of Jesus Christ bear so much relevance to us, his followers? We are afraid of the unknown. We don't know what happens at death. So how can we comprehend this? Let us look at 3 points. First point, Jesus' resurrection broke the bonds of death. When he stated, "It is finished," his life ended, and it must have been devastating to his disciples and those who were gathered around the cross. Yet 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead and entered the very room where the disciples had gathered, even though they had closed the doors and shuttered themselves in. Those closed doors did not stop Jesus' spirit. He wanted to meet them and tell them what it was like living without him after his death in this world. But now he was resurrected. That's what Christ has done for us. When he returned out of the depths of death, he announced to us who are alive here on this earth, he announced to us, "It's okay. You can enter death. You can enter the unknown. I have been there and I conquered it. I have overcome it. I have broken the stronghold for all of those who believe in me. So believe in me." Point number 2, he gave us victory over death. When you are traveling in an airplane and you encounter some turbulence, the pilot tells you, in case of an emergency, the adults must first put on their oxygen masks before they proceed to help the children or other people traveling with them. You must save yourself before you save others. Yet the resurrection proves that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, is there to assist his children, even at the cost of his own life. If Jesus was not bodily resurrected, he would not have been the Son of God. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we have victory over death, our final enemy. Jesus' victory over the grave empowers us, his believers, to face the uncertainties of life with confidence. He has given himself to us in order that we can overcome anything. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Those who believe that God raised Jesus from the dead all know how the game ends. We are the winners. The resurrection of Jesus Christ takes the sting out of death. Third point, Jesus' resurrection. His dying and resurrection gives us new life in the face of death. When people such as Mary, Peter, and John, and the other disciples gave in quickly to celebrate being reunited with Jesus, there was a missing disciple in Thomas. He wanted proof positive that this was the Jesus. What Jesus did in that first meeting after he was resurrected was to show those frightened disciples the same grace, forgiveness, and love that he had always demonstrated. He came and stood among them and simply said, "Peace be with you." Not only was Jesus alive and among them, he had also forgiven them for all that they had done, or rather not done, over those last few dramatic hours. We often look at today's gospel and focus on Thomas, the doubting disciple who needed to put his finger in the open wounds because he would not believe. But this story isn't about Thomas. This story really is about us. We are those fearful disciples trembling behind locked doors and wondering what all the madness around the world means. The story is about each and every one of us trying to live a worthy life of our Lord and Savior. We may be struggling with doubt or weighed down with fear or constantly falling short of what we know and what he expects from us. About this story, Jesus comes to us in the midst of our doubts and fears and sin and guilt to offer each and every one of us these simple words, "Peace be with you." Even though we try hard to deliver, we may still come up short and underdeliver. But despite all of these shortcomings, these four words reign supreme. Peace be with you. These words release us all from the stresses of failure. Think back to a time in life when you felt as though you were truly disappointed by something, something that happened, and you may have blamed Jesus. And now imagine Jesus showing up at that exact moment saying, "Peace be with you." How would you respond? Well, before you lay blame, we should stop and try to understand. Pray and ask for guidance. Seek out those who have strength in the areas in which you are failing and ask them for guidance. Jesus took our sins, took our hurts, our iniquities with him in death. He took it all with him. The bonds of death were broken. We have victory. We were given a new lease on life. Our sins are forgiven. Our hope is permanent, and our eternity is secured. We have a new start. That is what Jesus, by dying and overcoming death, did for each and every one of us. And to me, that is the Easter miracle. Through this miracle, we've all been given a new gift, a new life. So let us use this gift to assist others. Each and every one of us has skills. We have strengths that we can use to assist people. So what is stopping us as a community today? A community where we can help each other, achieving harmony within the Catholic body of Jesus Christ. It is not what we were promised in heaven. Yes, we were promised exactly that in heaven. But why do we have to wait until heaven before we can start living a heavenly life here on earth? We don't have to wait. Imagine in Gaza, imagine Jews and Palestinians having a meal together and stating, "Peace be with you." What can that achieve? Or imagine the people in the Donbas area, Ukrainians and Russians, breaking bread together and saying to each other, "Peace be with you." Last Friday, I was feeling a bit ill. In fact, my voice is still a bit raspy. On Saturday, I was in bed struggling with a fever. I stayed in bed all day, which is very uncharacteristic of me. In the afternoon, one of my parishioners, Bev Hope, brought over an apple pie that she had baked for me. She did not know that I was sick. I couldn't get out of bed, so Jamila picked it up. So here was Bev with a freshly baked apple pie delivered to my house. Jamila accepted it and put it in the oven. That warm oven allowed those smells of cinnamon and apple to emanate throughout the house, and I could smell it from my bedroom upstairs. So when I was called on for dinner, I was so happy to see the pie there, albeit missing one quarter. Well, you heard of people missing in action? Well, this was missing in mouth, in Jamila's mouth. That apple pie really soothed my throat and made me feel so much better. It is amazing what apple pies made with love can do for someone else. When you are having a disagreement with another person, maybe the standard modus operandi should be get a freshly baked apple pie and sit with that person and discuss what the issue is. I am very impressed with the woman of this church, and I will tell you that every time I see you because you take such good care of me. I was lost in my world. I was unsure of what I could do. I was taking medication. God sent someone to help me. God is always there for you. He is there for you in prayer. He can be with you. All you have to do is to close your eyes and ask him. And as you speak with him, remember when you say amen, you must continue waiting for his response. Always allow your heart to remain open to receive his words, his response to your prayer. At night, when you retire, leave a little place for him in your heart so that he can continue to guide you in your sleep, so that when you awake, you will have a clear plan ready for you to implement. And while you wait or sleep, or while you are implementing that new plan, continue to give to him all glory and honor for all that he has done for you and continue to do for you in the future. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. If you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe so you can get new episodes each week. Be sure to check out our website, stjohnscornwall.ca, where you can find links to our social media pages and more information on our ministry. Until next time, God bless.